The difference between Americans and Europeans? Well, we're buying new cars.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and economics. The Great Recession hit the U.S. and Europe at the same moment 5 years ago this fall, but the U.S. is coming back faster. This is due in large part to one key difference. Europe is struggling to keep its rickety economic union together. Today, the latest case in point, new car sales. At a time that sales in the U.S. are soaring, in Europe, they fell almost 7% in the first half of this year. We turn for some explanation to Marketplace's Stephen Beard, who's live in London. Morning, Stephen. This isn't a huge surprise, is it?
Not that surprising, no. I mean, new car sales here have been falling sharply in Europe month on month for 2 years now, almost without interruption. And all the usual suspects are to blame. The Eurozone debt crisis, government austerity, very high unemployment in some European countries, and lack of consumer confidence. Even Germany is feeling the effects. Domestic car sales there fell by 8% in the first half of the year. Germany, of course, is the big exporting country in Europe, and it's been hit hard by declining trade with the rest of the Eurozone and with China.
Even Germany. But one bright spot's right there where you live. Car sales in the UK actually doing quite well. What's that about?
Well, the UK economy is in better shape than most of its European neighbours. There is at least some growth here. And David Bailey of the Coventry University Business School says that's been good for car sales in Britain.
European car firms are offloading their cars onto the UK, given that there is growth and there's a problem in Europe. So there's fantastic deals and discounts available in the UK at the moment. It's probably the best time to buy a new car in many years. So I think consumers are taking advantage of that.
And alongside the UK car market, Michelin is another bright spot in the midst of all this continental European gloom. Michelin sales are up. People may not be buying new cars in Europe, but they still have to change their tyres.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard reporting live from London. Now let's do the numbers. In London, right now, the FT 100 index is up slightly, although the German DAX index is down 0.25%. Stock index futures for the U.S. are up at the moment. The Dow rose 19 points on Monday. The dollar is up to 131 euros, but down to 99.57 yen. The United States has spent more than $200 billion on private contracts for security, reconstruction, and other services during the Iraq and Afghanistan wars. Waste and fraud haunted that spending. With a Senate hearing on the way today into reforming wartime contracting, reporter Kate Davidson looks at some of the infamous history here.
It's kind of a tale as old as time.
I suspect in the battle against the barbarians, the Roman government probably investigated spear manufacturers.
That's American University International Relations Professor Gordon Adams.
The reality is that when you're in wartime contracting situation, you're spending money very fast. The purpose is the mission, not the audit.
In its last report, the Commission on Wartime Contracting found up to $60 billion paid to contractors had been wasted or charged fraudulently. Since then, other reports of waste have come in from the Special Inspectors General for Iraq and Afghanistan. Charles Tiefer served on the bipartisan commission.
We went into these wars with a terribly stripped-down government workforce of the people who monitor contracts.
Tiefer says defense auditors did great but needed more support, which leaves Iraq and Afghanistan with a bunch of facilities that will never be used or even finished. I'm Kate Davidson for Marketplace. Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
When we came in this morning, they were unfurling an 80,000-square-foot red carpet along New York's 42nd Street. Tonight, the city is hosting the All-Star Game, a baseball tradition going back 80 years. If you watch the players' mandibles, you might catch a glimpse of another tradition. Here's a hint. It led to the outlawed spitball. Stan Alcorn reports on baseball, spitting, and the tobacco industry.
As the New York Yankees gave up run after run on Sunday, there was a lot of spitting in the dugout, mostly sunflower seeds from the mouth of manager Joe Girardi. But for decades, that would have been tobacco juice, according to longtime fan Al Cicerone.
What I remember as a kid going in the Yankee dugout back in the old days, it was all over.
He recalls stepping in the saliva made by chewing tobacco or dip stuffed under the lower lip. Players still use this smokeless tobacco, but they're now required to keep it concealed. According to Greg Connolly, a leading smokeless tobacco researcher, that means less free advertising to tempt kids.
I would say that is true, that we've reduced it. But, you know, have we gone from the jumping from the 20th floor to the 10th floor?
Ball aside, he says a rising number of young people are using the smokeless stuff. Jefferies analyst Tilo Vreda says the big tobacco companies are making up for falling cigarette sales by pushing new smokeless flavors and pouches.
And then the latest innovation has been snus.
Snus lets you dip without the spit. It's big in Sweden, but now both Swedish and American companies are marketing it here. You can find Camel and Marlboro snus.
It comes in a little pouch. You don't need to spit when you use it. And because you don't have to spit, it's seen as much more user-friendly.
Depending on the user. At an amateur baseball game in Central Park, Anthony Perez had mint-flavored dip in his mouth. He had tried snus, but once was enough.
The whole point is that you don't have to spit out. You can just swallow it, but that's, you know, coming from someone who dips, that to me, that's a little disgusting. I know it sounds weird, but it's not the same thing.
Spitting. Whether it's tobacco or sunflower seeds, is a baseball tradition that's here to stay. In New York, I'm Stan Alcorn for Marketplace.
And teachers worry about what the internet, Google, smartphone world is doing to their students. But there's new data today from the Pew Research Center saying that some teachers are finding some advantages, even if it takes a good teacher, not necessarily technology, to make a good writer. Teachers say tech-savvy students are better at collaborating and synthesizing ideas from multiple viewpoints. Among concerns, though, using digital tools to plagiarize and otherwise cheat, plus the trend toward what's called informal writing, YOLO. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.